three words, man.
Yeah, it's about... So we're continuing on in Megillas Esther. The word continuing, we put quotes around, because we're still in the first pasuk, and as I said, we probably will be for a while. But today, even though I wanted to continue the theme of last week, but every shir is a standalone shir. But we will say one thing from last week to continue, and then tie it into this week. So, we have to do not only for Megillas Esther this week, because there's a famous connection, we're going to have to do it, to Parshas Chayesara, which is this week. So it starts out, Vayhi Chayesara Me'asvi Shana, that Sarah lived 127 years of her life. Now, Sarah was not the only name that we mentioned from her. Sarah is not the only name we have. We have another name we mentioned, Sarah. The end of Parshas Noach. The end of Parshas Noach. Or, yes, almost, is the end of Parshas Noach. Ben Dorah Lech Lecha. Yeah. Vatihi Sarah, Vayikach Avram V'Nachar Lehem Nashim. Avram and Nachar took wives. End of Noach. Shem Eches Avram Sarai. V'Shem Eches Nachar Milka. Sarai and Milka. Then Bas Haran. And then the funny phrase, hard to know what exactly. Avi Milka V'Avi Yiska. So Yiska, Rashi says, if I remember, on Chav Tes, Rashi says, Zu Sarah. Sarah's another name. She was called Yiska. Yiske, al shem shesoicha beruach kodesh. She had ruach kodesh. And then what is the word? Yiskehu miloshen nesichus. Kamay loshen sarara. So Sarah was like a queen. Or Sarah had the ruach kodesh. And therefore she had another name referred to as Yiske. Again, a Rashi toward the end of Noach. Right near the end. Now Yiske, even though we're on tape, sometime we don't have a blackboard like last week. Yiske, the letters of Yiske are Yud, Samach, Chav, Hey. If we have an anagram... If we have an anagram for that, instead of Yud Samach Chav Hey, we will do Chav Samach Yud Hey. Same letters. What does Chav Samach Yud Hey stand? If people were listening last week, would be the pasuk that Hashem says that He has His throne is not full, and His name is not full. Ki Yad Al Kase Ka Kase Chav Samach Ka. Not Ka Yud Kay. The name of Hashem. So Yiske, the name of Sarah, is equated with the concept of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being missing. And I don't remember if we said last week, I think I did, I don't remember, is that the numeric value of Yiske, the missing part, was the name of Haman. So now Haman is 95, and Yiske is 95, and Kase Ka is 95. So there's a certain energy field that's being compared, and in a way they bring down that Sari Imenu was going to be part of the merit, part of the Schus, in order to beat Haman, was we're going to have to rely on Yiske as well. Yiske meaning Sarah. So even though we started this week, we said, oh, we want to everybody be by itself. This week we start out by saying, just know one thing from the end of last week's class of the word who, but not the who, the other letters now. Yiske is Kois Ka of the Shem Hashem. But now we go to this week's parasha. What we don't call Yiske, we call her Sarah. And it says by Sarah that she lived 127 years. And, of course, we say, first pasuk in Esther, even though I don't want to go so far into the pasuk, but I think we're going to have to. The first pasuk in Esther says what? That Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh was the days of Achashverosh who Achashverosh, Hamayloch Mehoid v'Akush, and how many countries we call Medinas? How many countries did Esther, right now it's Achashverosh, rule over? Was 127 places. 127 to 127. Now, there's a famous medrash that literally we could spend. If you think a first pasuk in Esther we could spend a lot of time on, we can. This medrash is very world famous. And the medrash says like this. There was one time, Rabbi Akiva was Yoshev Darish. He was sitting down and he was being darshaning. He was teaching the students. And it says the students became, the tzibur became misnamnim. Misnamnim means dozing off. We'll give it like a random, like a key word. We'll call it, let's say, they were jutting. They were jutting. This is jutting. It's a word to use, maybe. A random word, maybe. So we have the kids were dozing off, something that a rabbi like me can understands, sitting in front of students, male and female, who doze off. And what happened was he wanted to inspire the people. That's what it sounds like. So it says Rabbi Akiva was Yoshev Adairish, and the tzibur was misnamnim. Misnam means not sleeping. It means in between. And he wanted to tell them something. So he said, what happened that Esther, we don't have Esther yet, with Achashverosh, was Zoicher. But it doesn't say the word Zoicher. That's what it should have said. It said, Rasa. What did Esther see that she was able to have 127 countries? Her zchus was because she came from Sarah, who lived 127 years. Right. Now, on the simple interpretation, it was just a teaser to wake up the people who might be dozing off and tell them a number, 127. I'm not looking at anyone specifically, even though I am. And they were just trying to say, well, 127, wake up, look what's going on. That's, of course, the most simple interpretation, 127 to 127. But as we know from the Thursday night class, we could use such a phrase by only a couple classes. But as we know from the regular classes we've given in Bethel and all over, I always say, each word, each letter, each trup has to be analyzed, has to be considered to be very specific. So if we were going to go through the words here, this is how we would start. We would have to know the first thing is, when the Medrash brings it down, is this specific to Rabbi Akiva? Why wasn't this story occurring with Rabbi Gamaliel? Or Rabbi Tarfin? Or Rabbi Lezman Azariah, if you want to go into the people by the Seder night? Right? Why Rabbi Akiva? That's right away a very... Is there a connection? There's always something to it. Next question. Next question will be, why are you standing? You're not a Kohen? Can you get me the Esther that's in the five volumes there? There's Esther. And the second one has to be, when we're talking about darshaning, giving a shmooze, why does it say Yoshev v'dorish? Yes. Why does it say Yoshev v'dorish? Why does it say he was sitting down and teaching? Is that detail crucial? Rabbi Akiva, someone has to be crucial. Is it Rabbi Akiva? Fine. When it says Yoshev v'dorish, what's the reason why it says Yoshev v'dorish? First of all, we know in Halacha l'chatchila, we are supposed to be standing when we give drushas. But okay, so it says Yoshev. We have to know what the word Yoshev is. Why when it's sitting down? Next question. Next words. Why does it say misnamnim? Why couldn't it say they actually were sleeping? Why does that say they were misnamnim? What's the point of that? And of course, the obvious question of what's the connection between Sarah and Esther? And maybe what's the number of 127? All of these here. So I'm going to quote an article to begin. Because I saw this last week. After someone in the shir was walking around, showed me that we have an article here, I decided to look at it. And he had nothing on the last 2 weeks. But he had something that we'll start with this week. And again, why this week? Not because we want to rush through the first pasuk, chas v'shalom. We really want to go back to the Hu Achashverosh, Mirtz Hashem, next week. We'll go back to it unless we continue with this medrash. But because it ties into this parsha, it would be a lost opportunity to lose. So I'm quoting articles English right now. Rabbi Akiva was once giving a lecture. So again, they have the word giving. And that is not the Hebrew. The Hebrew we said is Yoshev. He was sitting and darshaning. Okay, they don't have to say it. But we know it's Rabbi Akiva. When he noticed that his students were drowsing, that's a good word, in order to rouse them, he asked them, why was it fit? I don't know the word fit. The Medrash says, why did she see? Which we would have said merit. Merit, that's a very strange word. Why did Esther see? Why did Esther merit? But okay, we'll get to it, Mitzvah. Why was it seen fit that Esther should rule over 127, they use the word provinces, okay. Because thus said Hashem, let the daughter of Sarah, who lived 127 years, come and reign over 127 provinces. Okay, 127, Gzeira Shava, nothing more to it. But our scroll does quote the Kedush Arim, the great first Rebbe of Ger, Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe. And we will say what he says. We're going to read the article just because their English might be, according to some in this room, better than mine. Why would these words alert the drowsing students more than the topic of the day? If you're trying to wake them up, so the first assumption will be, okay, he gave them a teaser. Guys, can you connect 127? Can you connect time to space? That's what we're doing here. She lived 127 years in time, but in space it's 127 provinces. So can you connect the time-space continuum, which could sell for something? But the Chiddush Rim says, well, let's do something more than that. Rabbi Akiva wanted to impress upon his students the importance of time and the duty to use every second to best advantage. It was because Sarah's 127 years were perfect and complete, sin-free, that her granddaughter could now hold sway over 127 provinces. Each second meant a family. Each minute was a farm. Each day a village. Had Sarah idled away her time, Esther's kingdom would have been diminished. Time is too precious to waste. Sarah's time, being a complete 127 years, created the reign of 127 reigns. Each of us, too, is presented with the fleeting gift of time and the mission of utilizing it fully and well. Who can say what the rewards will be for each minute well spent? Or the penalty, God forbid, the other way. The admonition brought Rabbi Akiva's students to attention. So, beautifully well written. By the Chiddush Arim, first Rebbe of Ger. And when you think about it, if it's 127, to get the 127 full years, she had to have each second. So that means each second of your life, we'll go easy first, each second of Sarah's life corresponded to a, they wrote a family, I would say a block, each minute, each month, and expand it outwardly. So we have to know ourselves the value of each second. The value of each second is very important to know about. If we stop here, we're great. We got an art school, Chiddush Harim. We're good to go. I can go home and bench first. But that, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because I don't want someone throwing tomatoes at me. So this is what we're going to say now. We're going to go word by word. Word by word. I don't know how much we'll get through tonight, especially since, you know, my timing is always a little shorter than the other people's opinion of what the timing wants to be. But we'll see like this. So our first question was, we'll go word for word. Our first question was, why Rabbi Akiva? And I have to be honest, again, I want to repeat this. Every word in this medrash can be darshaned for eternity. And that's one of the things we're trying to show here, that everything is valuable. While some people, when I said we're going to start Esther, whoa, will we finish it before Hanukkah? What's the point? And I said, we will not finish even the first paragraph before Hanukkah. So now we have to discuss Rabbi Akiva. What comes to mind, Rabbi Akiva? First thing that comes to mind, Rabbi Akiva, there's at least five or six.
Crown.
Yes. One person from the background, I used to have a book, a joke book in my kid, when I was a little kid, a voice from the back of the class. But so yes, but we're going to go with something different. We're going to go with a famous Reb Chaim Shulevitz.
Okay.
First, one of the more famous stories of Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Akiva was not the most Talmudic scholar in his younger years. Not at all. He was a person who writes about himself, Gemara Pesachim, that he hated scholars, hated rabbis. Right? People are nodding along. Bethel knows about people who hate rabbis and scholars. I've experienced... No, I shouldn't say that. Okay. But anyway, so we have a rabbi who's saying that he didn't like it. Then he met his great wife, Rachel, and somehow together they convinced that what happened? Gemara says he went away to go learn a yeshiva. At that point, he was a nobody. I'm allowed to say he's a nobody, right? He saw the water going onto the rock, right? And again, as we can say clearly, we'll get to remind me water and rock later, if you remember. So what happens is this. He goes away. And then he comes back. They made a deal. 12 years. 12 years, they're going to go away. And he comes back 12 years. And he hears his wife telling, people are making fun of his wife, what's with your bum husband? And she said, what do you mean? He's unbelievable. And if he wouldn't come back another 12 years, that would be great. And he turns around and he goes back to the Beis Medrash. So Reb Chaim Shulevitz made famous. I'm expecting most people to know this. Reb Chaim Shulevitz made famous. At least stop in and say hello to your wife. Be good for 1 second. So Reb Chaim Shulevitz has a famous yisoid that is not his own, we'll get to in a second, but he made it famous, and he said it beautifully, written beautifully. Reb Chaim Shulevitz famously said, because in Judaism, 12 plus 12 is not 24. In the Goyish world, 12 years plus 12 years would equal 24 years. But that's with a break. 12 years learning, go inside, say hello to someone, then go back out 12 years, it's 12 plus 12. But Reb Chaim Shulevitz says that's not what in Judaism works like. In Judaism, 12 plus 12 is not 24. Because the togetherness, the fact that there's no break in between is much more valuable. Why did I say he's not the first one to say it? Because unbeknownst to most people, there is a Me'iri on Mishle that seems to say that really says the same thing. The Me'iri on Mishle says that every second gets combined. So if you are learning for 20 minutes straight, you didn't learn for what's 20 minutes of a minute of 20 times. No. Because it each gets doubled. I don't know exactly when we start doubling. Is it doubling every tenth of a second, every second, every minute? Probably every billionth of a second. So when you're learning 20 minutes straight, it's not 20 minutes of 60 seconds times 20. Nothing. No, it's 20 times a billion. It's exponentially. It's the squared, power, tripled, whatever you call these things. And that's what Meiri says this, which answers a very obvious question. We have great rabbis, we know. We have great rabbis, we know. But sometimes you wonder, how is it possible that they're accomplishing what they're accomplishing? Because in the end, they are busy doing other things, right? They're busy listening to the Kahal. They're busy putting their phone on block when they're getting bothered, right? They have a lot of stuff to do with their lives, right? How are they also learning the whole day? Reb Chaim Kanievsky sat and wrote an amazing amount of books that are seriously mind-blowing to no end. At the same time, every day, he sat around for 2.5 hours like a monkey, and every person in the world took a picture with him, right? Most photographed person in the history of the world is probably Reb Chaim Kanievsky. How does it work? Now, I heard during the yard site, where Belsky's at Sal, that Rebelsky Zatzal when they were sitting shiva for him, someone came in, and I forgot now if they said it about Rebelsky specifically, which I think they did, but they got it apart from the Chazanish originally. And the Chazanish said, as we know, basic stuff that you learn, especially in Eretz Yisrael, you learn that Torah is not a subject, even if you're going to college. Torah is not a subject. Torah is a lifestyle. And it doesn't work that X means Y. It doesn't work that way. And Torah means that if you're doing something for Hashem, then you gain in Torah. So if you're doing, let's say Hashem now wants you to stop learning and do chesed in the situation where it's applicable, so you're not going to lose out in your learning schedule, because it means the next time what's going to happen is something good will happen. Me, myself, I've always said this, because I'm not the guy who's doing the chesed, sadly to say, on camera. I'm not that guy, but I will say that a lot of times I'm sitting down and a gift comes to you. Either you chop something a little quicker, or someone shows you something you never would have got to, or you're looking at Sefer A for something else, and you realize it applies to something else you're working on. So in learning and putting out a Sefer and these type of things, a lot of times the gifts come in your direction unbeknownst and without you even trying. So that means, I'm just saying that something comes to you, but I'm even saying better. When you're sitting down and learning, and you sat down for 3 hours and had to do something for God's work, what God wanted, it doesn't make a difference. Because Hashem will make you catch up for it in learning as well. So therefore, someone like Rebelsky, that's what they were saying, someone like Rebelsky who spent a lot of time on some very interesting topics, astrology, astronomy, cutting up a cow, right, picking apart a microwave oven. Rav Heinemann used to do it on a car. You have people doing all the, and you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, why are you wasting your time figuring out how to work with a car? Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said it recently? Someone said it here. I think Rav Snow said it. What he wanted to know, what he wanted to know about the timing of Shkia. He took a boat into the ocean or something, or to the river or something. Rav Moshe, who understood the value of time. What are you doing going into the ocean? The answer is that in Torah, it doesn't make much of a difference. Because in Torah, it's not based on 1 second, 2 second, 3 second. If you have to study for a college course, you put in 3 hours, you get 3 hours of work. If you're drinking those drinks my students used to drink, those energy drinks, you get in 3.5 hours, maybe. In Torah, how it works, it doesn't work that way. In Torah, it expands. But that was a little bit of a side road. What we were discussing here, as where do we get to this? From the Meiri, from Reb Chaim Shlevitz, from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was saying that 12 plus 12 is not 24 in Judaism. You know what 12 plus 12 is not 24 in Judaism means? On some level, it means the true value of a second. Reb Chaim Shlevitz's point was the true value of a break. If you break, it's 12 plus 12. I'm modifying it a little bit for this class tonight. And I'm saying it's not only a break, it's the value of a second. Rabbi Akiva was teaching people also the value of each second. So Rabbi Akiva, who understood the value of a second, he understood what it meant, the power of 1 second. He's the one to tell the students, you're dozing off in the middle of a class, even though you're pretending you're not dozing off. The fact, he says, you guys understand what the value of a second is? So yes, the Chiddush HaRim is right, that each second, what he was telling them was, you're losing a village. It takes a village. You're losing a village. We're saying, why Rabbi Akiva specifically? Because Rabbi Akiva, you see in one place at least tells you 12 plus 12 is not 24, because a second plus a second is not 2 seconds, because the second second is worth much more than the first second. The fourth second is 4 times bigger than the first second. The 10th second is 10 times bigger than the 9th second. However it works in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, I can't explain. But ever, so the value of a second, he was telling the students, what are you dozing off for? You understand what the value of a second is? You can't be giving up the value of a second. So the reason we want to say now that Rabbi Akiva is the one behind this medrash, it could be shocking to believe that many people doze off in many rabbis' classes. Happens all the time.
How does that answer the question that why didn't he go to his wife before going back?
No, so the answer why he go to his wife is Reb Chaim Shlevitz to say that once she said, I don't care, I'm willing for him to go to the 12 years, he realized that if he would step in and then step out and go 12 years, he wouldn't have accomplished the same amount. Because 12 years learning with a break, and then 12 years learning is not what he would have accomplished as 24 years straight. So the walking into the house, which would be a break, would be it. I'm saying it's not based on the break only, which is Zichur, what Reb Chaim Shlevitz said, and what the Meiri is, what's based on a Meiri that nobody knows about.
12 years.
It was 12 years, and then he went back.
And 12.
Well, it was 12 years, then he went back in 12 years again.
No, I mean to say that we said that the 12 years is not really 12 years.
Even the 12 is not 12, correct.
But
when she was talking to her neighbor, they were talking the physical world. Yes, his 12 years in a row is much more than our 12 years, because our 12 years consist of every 5 seconds checking our WhatsApp status. But in the regular world of the Torah world, with the 12 years is much more. So here we now. By the way, we don't believe in random names. We don't believe random names. Not random names. That why is Rabbi Akiva the author of this story? Is that the author? Whatever the word is. Why is he the proprietor, or whatever the word is. Why is he the main character in this story? But everyone not only is the main person, but as we know in Judaism, we believe in names. Names are given with prophecy. Names mean something. What's Rabbi Akiva mean? So the Ben Yoyada, somewhere else says, again, for the Thursday night class that we do, gematrius and acronyms and all types of anagrams, Rabbi Akiva's name is an acronym for a famous phrase. Akiva is Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph. I'm not expecting you to guess it. But what the phrase that goes Aleph Kuf Yud Beis Aleph in an acronym can be Yesh Koina Olamai B'Sha Achas. The acronym of those words, which means in English Yesh Koina Olamai B'Sha Achas, of course you know Hebrew, means that a person can acquire everything in one moment. Gemara has many stories that. In one moment, you could acquire everything. Who's the person behind that phrase? None other than, I don't know who's the person behind the phrase, but who will represent that phrase? Someone whose name has a symbol of that code. Rabbi Akiva, the name Akiva, is an acronym of Yesh Kan Lo Shachas. He's the one whose essence now we're saying, we're giving a share Rabbi Akiva tonight. His essence is saying that, by the way, don't 12 plus 12 is not 24. We're saying not 12 plus 12 because of the break only, but even because of the value of a second, he was the one looking at his students as they were dozing off. Not going to look in the same direction every single time. He was looking at the students who were dozing off, and he was saying, listen, guys, do you understand what this means? That for a, what Rabbi Chushurim was saying, that in 127 years of her life was perfect 127 years of Esther's life, of Sarah's life. Therefore, it created 127 places that she became the queen. But if part of her life would have been wasted time, any part of her life would have been wasted time, the moments that she would have wasted time would have been deficient. Would have been deficient later on in the space of 127 cities. So as Chushurim said so beautifully from Oscar, that every second of someone's life has such immense value, and Rikiva was trying to tell these guys, don't do it. That is, so far, what we could do on Rabbi Akiva. There's really much more, because as David said, the right person said, we have Rabbi Akiva about the crowns, and obviously here we're talking about the crown of Esther, and we have Akiva, which many Mefarshim bring down, is the one who said, my entire life, I'm waiting to sanctify my life in honor of God. And he was killed as Kiddush Shemayim. And all of these type of things are all very, very valuable to know how to connect it. I hate to bother you again. Are you a Levi? Can you bring me a Gemara Brachas, Chav Zayin? So there's another famous story that for some reason, Rabbi Akiva is a side factor in the story, but he's an extremely important factor in the story. So there's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Zayin. And once again, we're trying to explain why the Medrash specifically is referring to Rabbi Akiva. Better for the English, but this is fine. And the Gemara in Brachas Chav Zayin has one of the, you could say, potentially world-altering events, if that's such a phrase, we could use such things. And the Gemara starts out with an amazing story. Yeah, the Gemara starts out with an... Why is it not here? Hold on. Chav Zayin Mabez. The Gemara has a debate. Again, every detail we could spend a lifetime on. Every detail. But the Gemara there is discussing whether Mairiv is a Rishus or a Chayva. Is Mairiv a Rishus or a Chayva? So the Gemara has a story here. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel said it was a Chayva. And at one point, Rabbi Yeshua got up, and Rabbi Yeshua started asking questions, and it created a fight. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. He was a Nasi, and it said, Rabbi Yeshua, you got to stand up. And he made him stand up in public. And the Olam, the Talmidim, got upset about this. They weren't happy with the situation. And they started making a major protest. And they said, we're not going to do this anymore. And they told the Maturgamim, stop talking. You got to stop this. Because we don't want Rabbi Gamliel being interpreted while this is going on. So they said, okay, what are we going to do now? We're going to take Rabbi Gamliel, new vote. We don't understand such things. We're going to go with the vote, and we're going to remove the person, the leader, for new leaderships. Imagine such a thing happens. New leadership. Said, okay, who are we going to put in? You want to take the guy out, who are you going to put in? So they said, like this, one line. Nuk Rabbi Yeshua. Let's Rabbi Yeshua. Maisa Yeshua is huge. That's Rabbi Yeshua. They said, you can't do Rabbi Yeshua. Baal Maisa. The Maisa, it's a shtickle antagonistic. You can't have the guy who started, who was the whatever the word is, part of the whole situation. He's not the instigator, because he was not, but we'll call him the instigator for this conversation. Since Rabbi Yeshua started the whole conversation, he started the whole ball rolling, and now they're going to move Gamliel, to put Rabbi Yeshua in is more of too much of a shtach to Gamliel. Can't do it to him. Can't do it to him. Who's the next choice? Rabbi Israel, who's the next choice? Mamash one line of the Gemara. Because the next one is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, look, Rabbi Akiva. They said, why can't you do Rabbi Akiva? Excellent. Dilma Onishloi. It'll be a punishment to him. The less schus avos, he has no schus avos. Why? The simple interpretation is because Rabbi Akiva, we believe, his father maybe, whoever, the whole drasha, Rabbi Akiva came from either Gerim, Balchubas. He didn't have what we call schus avos. Didn't have schus avos. Didn't have the merit of Yovis. He was in a bad situation. Since he didn't have schus avos, he said, we can't. All right, let's do Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That was one of the reasons. And then we're going back and forth, and then we have the person who grows a white hair on his beard, the whole thing. One of the most great stories to worth. Again, when we have time, maybe we'll spend a lifetime on this, learning it as well. But here we see a detail tucked away in the middle of a fascinating story, which I probably should spend more time on the story, but I didn't prepare for it, is that within the story itself, Rabbi Akiva comes out as the one who does not have schus avos. Now, let's go back to our story here. We have a rabbi talking, and someone dozing off on his phone, and that was disgusting, so, right? Someone's dozing off. The Talmidim are dozing off, and Rabbi Akiva wants to wake them up. So what does he do? He tells them, okay, listen, guys, let's make a connection here. 127, okay. Very interesting conversation. We said every word has to be derived. Every word has to think about it. So, someone said this. Esther, which we're going to go through the story, if I don't know when, hopefully, Omen HaShemayim, but Esther, as we're going to learn very easily, and Mordechai, they are the Einiklach of Shaul HaMelech. We hinted it to it last week. We brought up Shaul HaMelech, even though each one's a standalone share. To the people who asked me for the tape and didn't watch it, we're not going to test them on it. But how it works is that Shaul HaMelech was the grandparents of Esther. And then Shaul might have done something with Amalek that he shouldn't have done. And Esther and Mordechai are coming to reenact the story and try to make up for the parents' sin. But in the end, in this story here, where is Esther Zichus coming from? Esther Zichus here is coming from Sarah. Doesn't say, by the way, Esther, you come from Shaul. Shaul was a superstar. First ballot Hall of Fame, as they say. Right? The Gemara says that even though we look at it simply, that Shaul was the first king and he got removed from the Malchus, the Gemara in Yuma, Chavez, talks about it by Riches and says that David wasn't as big as Shaul. Shaul did something wrong. I think we spoke about it on a Shabbos once here, against the Malchus maybe. But he did one thing, but David did more things wrong and he didn't lose the Malchus. So Shaul was a giant. It says he was shoulders above people, the head and shoulders. That's where the phrase comes from, I think. Shaul was a giant. It doesn't say, by the way, Esther, you come from Shaul. It says, Esther, you come from Sarah. So some want to say, that Rabbi Akiva, when they were sitting around, they were dozing off. It wasn't that they were dozing off. That's some people in the shir. There's other people in the shir, we're not going to look at anyone specifically, possibly, who it says their problem was they weren't listening to Rabbi Akiva because they didn't hold from the guy. You know what they looked at Rabbi Akiva? I remember you. I used to play ball with you. You were the guy whose father's that guy. You're the guy who's that guy. You're the guy who hated Tamid HaChamim. You're the guy who married the girl who was a scandal because your shir cut you off. Right? Listen, Rabbi Akiva, I'm just not that interested in what you got to say. Miss Namu, he would get up to speak. When he'd get up to speak, they were like, yeah, I know that guy. I don't want to hear what he's got to say. He is what we call a person with a scandal. What'd you say? Was that the word we used? That wasn't the word we used. He's controversial. We don't want controversial guys speaking. We don't want that. That's what he was saying. So the Olam was machin gevek Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, listen, let me do a darsh. Again, this is all to do with, all so far, this whole night so far. We said over the story, but to be darsh, why Rabbi Akiva specifically? So this answer is going to be, Rabbi Akiva was saying like this, guys, pay attention here. Pay attention. What's Esther Zichus? If you're going to stand up and say, what's Esther Zichus? The average person on the street's going to say, Esther Zichus is Shaul HaMelech. First king in Klal Yisrael. Shoulders above the rest of the world. Esther's whole story is going to be about Shaul HaMelech. You would say how she got to the Malach is based on Shaul HaMelech. Because the whole story is going to be about Shaul HaMelech. You know, we say, you know what Esther Zichus was? Sorry, Menu. Sorry, Menu. Guess what Rabbi Kiva is telling them? I also have that yichus. Mm-hmm. Because every person, every convert, they call themselves Ben Avram, son of Avram. When they call a convert up to an aliyah, let's say the guy takes on the name Shloima, they'll call him Shloima Ben Avram. Because every convert, son of Avram. We spoke about it here one time, I don't remember anymore now, that there's a question of if a convert's allowed to say the brachas. Certain brachas he's allowed to say. He said, Avram, of course a convert could say Avram. Everyone's Ben Avram. Ben Avram means Ben Sarah as well. That's different kasha. We're talking about Avram right now. So the point is that every convert can say himself Ben Avram. So Rabbi Akiva was telling these guys, listen, you chutz b'nyaka talmidim, something that people understand. Listen, you chutz b'nyaka talmidim, who have no respect for me. Why? Because you decided my past is coming back to haunt me. You decided I'm not good enough because my yichus is not good enough. Let me tell you something. Sari Menu, the savior of Klal Yisrael in the story of Esther, who had great yichus, we didn't bring up that yichus. We don't talk about that yichus. No way. We talk about Sari Menu. Esther has to rely on Sari Menu, which means she's relying on Avraham Avinu. You know what I can rely on? Same thing. And by the way, just in case one of the number 127 matches up to Avraham Avinu, of course it does. Because there's a machloikus, at what point did Avraham Avinu become who he was? Avraham Avinu died at what age? Simple test.
175.
Now, 175 for the accountant in the back who never answers my accountant questions, by the way. 175 minus 127 is?
48.
There is...
I have a question.
No one ask you out. And the Rambam says, no questions yet. The Rambam says, when did Avraham Avinu, when was he recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One says 3 and one says 48. Wait 1 second, I heard you 4 times. Wait 1 second. So he has 148, which means that on some, we don't count those first 48 years. Avraham Avinu and Sarah both lived 127 years with Hashem. So we're saying, Avad was saying Sarah. That's the Medrash, open words. But it means also, by the way, Avram is also 127 years. Sarah was perfect from start to finish, 127. Avram had 127, we're going to count. Add the 48, which we have to figure out how we do with that. Which means, when we're saying the schus, when we're saying that something has happened here, when we're saying, that, I think we just lost them, when we're saying the schus of Esther, when we're saying the schus of Esther, what we're saying is 127 also means Avram. Because Rabbi Akiva, again, Darshan Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva wanted a Darshan with the 127 and wake the people up to tell them, by the way, don't rely on me that I'm no good because I don't have Yichas, because Gemara Brachas and 1 line says I'm a Yichas. No. I don't need that Yichas. I don't need a Yichas. You know why? I'll go with Sarah's Yichas. You know what Sarah's Yichas was? Esther's Yichas. What was Esther's Yichas? Sarah Menu. What's my Yichas? Avram and Sarah's all the same. What we have is this now. So far, what we're doing here is, we're again discussing the concept of this connection to this parasha with the story of Esther with the beautiful Chedush Arim. We're gonna do one more because the timing is getting late for those who speak fast. And it goes like this. Another one is that the word Yoshev Misnamnem means that they were a little down. Yoshev Misnamnem doesn't only mean physically dozing off; it means emotionally they were not in a good place. And he was trying to uplift the spirit. He was trying to uplift the spirit. So we have like this: Yoshev Misnamnem meant that on some level they were a little down. They're a little down. Now, why are they a little down? This is why it's perfect. They're a little down because on some level we have them. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was after the second base of Mikdash, right? After the Mikdash was destroyed, and the people were looking at it and they were saying, "Listen, things aren't so good." So Rabbi Akiva said, let's take a look at things. When did Esther live? Esther lived at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And things, it was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The other thing was that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash. And they were coming now at the 70 years when they were under the impression, according to the Pardes command, that they missed it. There was a question on the 70 years of when the 70 years would happen. So that means on some level, the Jews now were in a bad situation. They were like in the time of the Megillas Esther. They're in the end of the 70 years, and the end of the 70 years, they were in a bad place. Just like the Jews at the end of Rabbi Akiva's time. In Rabbi Akiva's time, were in a bad place. So he was telling them, listen, look back. Look back.
Just lower the value of the whole thing.
To what Esther did. And Sarah herself lived in a bad situation. And yet she went through a terrible life. She was kidnapped. She didn't have kids for 90 years. When she had a kid, everyone mocked her and said it wasn't even her husband's kid. She had a very difficult life. But at the same time, she always stayed positive. Since she always stayed positive, he was telling them that you also, look at what Sarah did, going through what she went through, and she stayed positive. And you guys, post the second base of English, stay positive. We're going to end it now anyway. We're going to end the class. We're going to continue this next week.